This is Jay Sekulow. A big week on the issue of life.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to focus on the life issue today, and we're going to take a look back at what I think galvanized the pro-life community in the last couple of months, and that was the situation in New York and the situation in Virginia. So we're going to take kind of a retrospective look at that. But we also need to talk about the fact that right now, this week, the ACLJ, well, actually, Wednesday and today, ACLJ lawyers engaged in defense of life in New York, an administrative hearing earlier this week on Wednesday involving the issue of crisis pregnancy centers. Then today, lawyers for the ACLJ will be participating in a legislative hearing, the issue there also on life legislation. So it's important to understand that we're not just talking about these issues here, but we are litigating these issues. We are appearing before various committees to deal with these issues in state houses. This is a core issue for us at the American Center for Law and Justice.
Yeah, and there's different ways we combat it. So you've got the actual procedures themselves. That's what's going being discussed in Maryland at the state capitol there, where we've got an attorney appearing before a committee. They're looking at three things. They're one, in Maryland, looking at adopting a similar law to like New York, very expansive and making it a state constitutional right to abortion. They're also looking at some restrictions on abortion that have been proposed. The 20-week pain-capable abortion ban at the state level, and more informed consent laws for those who may be seeking an abortion, to have more informed consent laws at the state level there. So that's what's happening in Maryland. That's actually on the procedures themselves, you know, on the instances of abortion itself. And then in New York, it's about pro-life pregnancy centers, the really a pro-life speech and the opportunity for people to have somewhere else to go. So I think on all these fronts, when we're fighting, It's sometimes it's on the procedures itself, the abortion itself, or the surrounding, the informed consent laws, the medical laws, and the rules around it that get fought out in the courts and the state legislatures. There's the pro-life pregnancy centers, which have come under attack in liberal places at state levels, like in California where they did, and then at the local, more local level, like the city of New York, coming after pro-life pregnancy centers. So you've got to combat this in all different ways, whether it's state law, federal policy, or speech.
Yeah, and so whether it's actually offering assistance through these crisis pregnancy centers, pro-life centers. In fact, we mentioned, here's what happened this week. On Wednesday, we had a team, as I said, that was up in New York on the litigation involving the crisis pregnancy centers there. On Thursday, Jordan gave a speech in front of a large pro-life group in South Carolina. On today, we've got lawyers that are literally in Annapolis, Maryland, testifying on issues involving the life issue. So all of this is happening this very week. But the increased, I would say, enthusiasm on the life issue has certainly been raised because of what happened in New York and Virginia. There are moments in history where things galvanize, and this ended up really being one of those moments where it galvanized, and there you have it. And you look at the situation, and all of a sudden, everybody's starting to talk about it because they couldn't believe what was actually being proposed. You remember in Virginia, they actually had to roll it back. We've done a movie called Abortion Inc. I mean, so we've done a lot on this issue. This program today is both a look forward and a look back on this very, very important issue, so you understand some of the key history of what's taking place here.
And it's also, you know, with all of this work that's going on, it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. And so whether it's in the legislative branch and working on the laws, the actual crafting of laws, whether it's defending pro-life legislation, combating pro-abortion legislative action at the state or even sometimes federal level, and make sure the right restrictions are in, we need your support of the ACLJ to do all of this work, to have these attorneys
on that. Actually, an email alert going out on that today, went out today.
And again, you could double the impact of your donation today at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge. Every donation is doubled. That's at ACLJ.org. Donate today. Support the work of the ACLJ, including so much of the pro-life work we're doing right now.
So the ACLJ is fully engaged, as Jordan just said, on all of these issues, standing up for life on a whole host of levels. And your support of the ACLJ, as we said, makes a huge difference, especially as we are now in a matching challenge month, literally around the country, as we've got cases right now that we're litigating on behalf of life. So all of this going on as we stand for life, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
New York proposes and adopts, it passes the Senate in New York, the Reproductive Health Act, passed by the Senate in a vote of 38 to 24, signed by Governor Cuomo. Cece, if I was going to ask you to describe the law in general, I say it's the most barbaric law we passed. What do you think are the aspects of this that, I mean, there's many aspects. And by the way, what we're looking at the ACLJ is first, we're going to do a FOIA request on the state and find out what we know about that. I think that would be very, very important. So we need to know what the story was on that front. What exactly did the state, what went into this? NARAL, Planned Parenthood, what were they thinking? What conversations went back and forth? Then the second aspect of this is then what you can do affirmatively. We're looking at New York state law. We're looking at other legal causes. But when you look at the law, mm-hmm. what jumps out at you here is the most problematic, besides the whole process, which right. is, you know, we fought for those late-term abortion bans
right.
on the particular procedure. So
right.
now they're being not procedure-specific.
Right. So New York, their prior law on abortion, which they had under the penal code, was basically, you know, there was after 24 weeks, you could not provide an abortion,
right.
Which is very late. I mean, children yeah. are viable now at 20 weeks. So
right.
24 weeks viable, they could do an abortion. That all is gone. So all the abortion, the penal code, everything on abortion in New York is completely gone. Anything that actually talked about abortion from the public health stance of it needs to be performed in a hospital, it needs to be performed by a physician, they need to ensure the health and safety of the mother and the viable child. If the child is born alive, they are immediately accorded legal protection. All of those laws have been repealed completely. And now even the definition of a person, even for homicide, takes out any unborn child. It is a human being who has been born and is alive. That's the definition of a person. So you can kill an unborn baby at any point, and even if they're born alive, they don't have legal protection.
It used to be that if a pregnant mother was killed, that they could be charged with a double homicide. That's been removed. So really, when you look at what they're focusing on, Abby, is the removal of the personhood of the unborn child. And even if the child's born alive after the abortion, that personhood's not recognized yet either.
Right.
I mean, it takes away all of those post-delivery protections
if
it's as a result of an abortion.
Yes, it does.
So
mm-hmm.
What jumps out as you with the as the kind of the worst part of this? I mean, it's all awful.
Well, it is all awful. I will say that the media, you know, several media outlets have pointed to, well, this isn't unrestricted abortions. There is a requirement of, a threat to the health of the mother.
Yep.
The problem is that the New York law does not define health, And we all know when there is no definition of health, it's anything goes, anything and everything goes. And when you remove the criminal penalties, there's no accountability. So it's up to the doctor and the mother to decide.
Maybe not even the doctor.
Not even the doctor.
Because there don't have to be a doctor to do this surgery procedure, which is unbelievable in and of itself. All right, let's go ahead and take calls. Phones are jammed right now.
Yeah, let's take a call right out of New York. Rachel in New York on line two. Rachel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for all you guys do.
Thanks.
I'm calling because I think Mr. Cuomo's taken leave of his conscience, and also it's not the woman's right to choose, it's a woman's right to kill. I mean, if I should be so blunt as to say that, because it is.
So,
and I think we should send a message in the next voting cycle to, we say that we don't want people like this in there, well, we should vote accordingly.
So in New York, this bill, you can follow, it's been around, they've been kicking around this bill since 2006.
That's right, but they got the legislators, state legislature there switched. It used to have Republican control in lower houses, and then that changed. And so because of that, they quickly, with the new Democrat majority, seized on getting this passed right through and having a big celebration about it, even lighting up the Freedom Tower in New York pink. The spiral pink, and as one commentator says, it looks like the needle that's used to inject the lethal poison into the unborn baby while they're inside the womb. There's the image of it you could see. And that's New York being proud of that, which is, again, I think that the imagery is barbaric. Even the choices they've made to celebrate the imagery is wrong. And the idea that this is going to protect anyone's health, when in fact you're going to have non-doctors performing abortion procedures, midwives performing abortion procedures, and no way for the state to prosecute those midwives if they do something wrong. So what happens to the woman if they die?
So if the child...
Or what about the woman themselves?
Yeah. What happens there?
The criminal laws have been repealed.
I don't know. I guess if that was a live-born human being,
What if something happened? I guess the negligence laws would still apply, or do they not? The criminal laws do not.
You know,
if you were criminally negligent, it would. I guess it's too bad. Is there any criminal protection that goes in place in something like this if something were to go wrong or if it was done inappropriately? Nothing?
I don't see anything.
So it looks like they repealed the criminality aspect of this. Vermont looked similar?
Vermont even has a provision that would allow the mother to do her own abortion and would prevent any criminal prosecution on that.
Yeah.
It says no state or local law enforcement shall prosecute any individual for inducing, performing, or attempting to induce or perform the individual's own abortion.
So say that, read that first part, because that sounds like any person.
No state or law enforcement shall prosecute any individual for inducing, performing, attempting to induce or perform the individual's own abortion. I mean, the scenario that you have here is you have a mother who, days before delivering her child, decides she doesn't want this baby anymore and attempts to murder the baby herself in her home. Or let's say you have a baby that's born and the mother changes her mind and then later claims that she attempted an abortion on the child. No prosecution whatsoever.
Let's go ahead and take another call. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Deanna in Massachusetts on line three. Deanna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was calling in regards to, you know, the abortion thing. I don't understand how they can, you know, say that they're giving rights to a woman to do whatever they want to their body. Because it's really not their body. It's the baby's body. And if they're going to wait, you know, to the very end and give birth to a child, you know, an infant, and then decide halfway through the birth that they don't, you know, or whatever, halfway through the birth, you know, they kill the baby. Then, you know what, if you're going that far, there are so many couples out there trying to have babies. Give it up for adoption.
So I think what they've done in New York, and I'll defer to Cece and Abby on this, but I think what they've done in New York is basically taken out any protection of the unborn child. There's no, we call it personhood in the law. Is the unborn child, or here even the delivered child, a person under the Constitution? And what New York is saying, and apparently Vermont is, no, they're not.
No. Absolutely. Even in their definition, when they define person, it is a human being who has been born and is alive. So that totally takes out the unborn baby, which definitely we all know is a person and has life, but they have to dehumanize this child in order to justify the fact that they have repealed every single law that criminalized abortion and killing an unborn child.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm trying to think of what was it that motivated, I know it's been around for a while, but they've obviously seized the moment here in their view.
Yeah, the Democrats took over the state legislatures in New York. Yeah, surprisingly, Republicans had control of some of those legislative bodies for the last few years. So there's been kind of a balance of power in New York. They're not the most conservative. They weren't the most conservative Republicans in the country, certainly, but they were not going to pass through this kind of abortion language. The moment that changed after this past election cycle, this legislation has been ready to go, as you said, and they passed it. And not only they passed it, they celebrated it as well.
Yeah, that's the thing, Abby, I don't understand. It's not only they pass it, but the celebration aspect of this, as if it's a monumental, they've done something great. I mean, that's how they're viewing this. And, of course, Planned Parenthood
is
too.
Yeah, it certainly is. I do know that there were a few, apparently, when the law was passed, literally say, God save us all. So there is a recognition by a minority there.
In the Senate. I wonder if we can get audio on any of that. If there was any audio of any of the proceedings, that would be... it's fair to say this is the broadest abortion law in the U.S. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, Planned Parenthood, even when we were up in New York attacking a different bill that was going against crisis pregnancy centers, the city council, which was a majority Democrats, I think there were only five Republicans and there were over 50 city councilmen, almost all of those Democrat council members had Planned Parenthood supporting them.
Yeah.
So you can assume the same in the legislature. Yeah, I mean, Planned Parenthood is feeding money to these Democrat councilmen, they're feeding money to these legislators.
With all of this work that's going on, it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. And so whether it's defending pro-life legislation, combating pro-abortion legislative action at the state or even sometimes federal level, make sure the right restrictions are in. We need your support of the ACLJ to do all of this work, to have these attorneys
on that. Actually, an email alert going out on that today. Went out today.
And again, you could double the impact of your donation today at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge. Every donation is doubled. That's at ACLJ.org. Donate today. Support the work of the ACLJ, including so much of the pro-life work we're doing right now.
So the ACLJ is fully engaged, as Jordan just said, on all of these issues, standing up for life on a whole host of levels. And your support of the ACLJ, as we said, makes a huge difference, especially as we are now in a matching challenge month, literally around the country, as we've got cases right now that we're litigating on behalf of life. So all of this going on as we stand for life, ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We've got Dr. Omar Hamada with us, who's a board-certified OBGYN, also a Special Forces medical doctor, and also certified in a number of other specialties as well. But he's been on TV a lot on Fox and other networks talking about this issue. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah.
We'll get more conversation.
Cynthia is calling in from New Mexico on line 3. Cynthia, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call,
sure.
And thank you, team, for what you do for us.
Thanks.
I just have something that's really bothered me. Since New York says that you don't need a doctor to perform these abortions, which I think is horrendous anyway, I do not support any abortion for any reason. But they told us back in the 70s with the women's movement that this was the whole reason to legalize abortion, was to take it out of the back rooms and make it safer for women that chose to have abortions. I'm not seeing that's the case now. If you can just have anyone perform an abortion,
they're fighting every single legitimate restriction placed on these clinics for cleanliness, for certifications, for access to hospitals in the event of an emergency.
That's why you can't ever believe the rhetoric that this is about women, because it's not. It's about killing babies, period. They don't care about the women. If they did, they wouldn't be allowing these late-term abortions, which actually can harm a woman and kill them. And that's why even a lot of the abortionists themselves will not do late-term abortions, because they realize the risks. So this is not about protecting
even
women
the
or giving them.
Won't do the
that's exactly
late-term
right.
Abortions. There are very few that do.
Yeah. Is that because of the risk? Is it because of the procedure? Is it their whatever conscience they might have left? What is it really? Why? Is
I don't
it because,
think
or is it because of legal
issue.
Liability?
Yeah, I think it's legal liability.
Right.
And also, I mean, it's a dangerous procedure, and it's difficult. It's
when
not
you say it's a
thing.
Dangerous procedure, I mean, how?
Well, of course, it's dangerous for the baby, but you've got to get the mom dilated, and it depends on what stage of pregnancy, but sometimes...
You're late stage.
Yeah.
I mean, this will let you do it to the day before delivery.
Yeah, I mean, you can injure the mom.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a case in the practice that I was in another city, where the mom, who was a teenager with a late term abortion, this was actually about 26, 28 weeks. So it wasn't extremely late, but she lost a kidney. She lost part of her bowel. She ended up with an ostomy.
And what would be the legal liability of that doctor under the law here?
Okay. So in New York, if you performed an abortion after 24 weeks and the mother died,
yes,
you could be charged with manslaughter.
Okay.
Now you cannot. So you can perform, and now you don't
because
have to be a doctor.
Because the abortion after 24 weeks was not legal.
That's correct.
Right.
And now you can be a non-doctor performing an abortion up until birth, and if the mother dies, you are not liable for anything. So they don't care about babies, but they don't care about the mothers either.
But go ahead.
So that's the criminally liable. What about, I mean, civil, that's still got to get people in trouble, right? I mean, doctors, criminals one edge, but the even non-doctors, if you did one of these procedures without any training.
Gross negligence.
You would think that the individual's family who died would have some kind of action to take. Maybe not criminal.
Wrongful death, a civil action for wrongful death
yeah.
would probably be how they would go.
But it's pretty sick that we're having to go that route. That there would be no criminal ramifications for this person.
None.
That the only ramification would be a civil action that the family would have to take on and pay for.
How about the fact that they're celebrating this could take place right up to the moment of delivery?
It's sick. It's sick. And you know what's really amazing to me is, you know, when we look at Europe, we think Europe is very aggressive and liberal. But I think they have limitations up to 14,
they don't do this.
14 weeks,
yeah,
is what I understand.
Yes.
12 to 14 weeks,
you know,
and
why?
That's it.
You know why? Because of genocide issues and infanticide. I mean, that's how they look at it from a different lens.
Yeah.
They're within their own experience.
Yeah.
Now, some European countries do have a little bit more, but the fact is most of the European countries don't allow what we would call late-term or partial birth abortion. They just don't. So there you have it. I'll take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones. We go. Karen in New York City on line 2. Karen, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Karen.
Thank you so much. Yep. Hey, thank you, Jay, and thank you, Doctor, and all present. My question to you is that since this is now a law, are they going to revamp the nurses and doctors and nurse practitioners and midwives and physician assistants' oath of do no harm?
I asked that to Omar. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it seems like they would have to, right? I mean, they've already revamped it quite a bit and taken some of that languaging out of there, but I don't know. I mean,
what is the position of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology on late term abortions?
You know, they actually have a positive view towards that. I mean, I don't think they encourage it, but yeah. I think they allow it.
Yeah. So you wouldn't be decertified for
correct.
Doing
no,
it.
You would not.
Yeah. But so that tells you where some of the medical folks are on this. We keep getting questions on this. I could save it for Facebook. I'll save it during the break. But so if Roe goes, this is what happens. I'm not saying that Roe shouldn't go, by the way. I think Roe was horribly decided. And there are going to be some states that are going to go to extremes. And I think we're seeing some of those extremes play right now. And the question is this going to be now, let's take it out of the legal moral for a moment and put it into the political. What is how big of an issue does this become in elections?
It can become a hugely important elections. Now, most of this will be state to state, and you could easily decide which states this is going to happen in. And then other states could outright ban abortion if, you know, you had Roe overturned. That would just say, nope, zero abortion. And you may not live anywhere near a state that allows this. But I think it's very red versus blue. And the purple states will probably fall in the middle with allowing some. They would allow some abortion procedures, but not this up until birth. So you'd have a vast a range of different laws on the books, from the most extreme saying you can have the abortion up until birth to no abortions at all out in our state, except for, you know, the medically necessary ones, and actually medically necessary where it's the life of the mother, not these health exceptions that we talk about, which can be, and I just don't feel like it, yeah, having a baby today. Now, so I think it would put things into disarray. It would also then, I think, become a federal issue again, because you'd have to start looking at federal laws like new partial birth abortion ban acts that were able to successfully proceed through. I mean, I think it'd be easier for them to proceed through the Supreme Court if there was no Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
That could limit some of these more extreme actions.
The way you're going to have to limit the
long-term battle.
Well, the long-term battle on that is you're going to have to be able to argue the personhood of the unborn child. I mean, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that, Andy, that the child's constitutional right is at least weighed in the balance here.
Well, it ought to be. I mean, the doctrine that Rhode Island had, for example, that life begins at conception, is nothing new. I mean, St. Thomas Aquinas says this, and the fathers of the church say this way before him. So they haven't made a statement that's revolutionary or new. Repealing it is revolutionary and new.
I think that's the reality of what it is. We're going to have to get back to the person. When you look at the child, do you view that child as a person? Another person that you are in charge as an OBGYN taking care of?
Definitely. And there are a couple of states now. I know Iowa has passed, and I know Tennessee is considering heartbeat bills and legislation. Yep. But I've heard also that there's some question as to constitutionality.
Yeah, there is. But again, because of the personhood issue. So okay. The heartbeat, when is the heartbeat first recognized on the monitors?
On the monitors or by ultrasound?
Ultrasound.
Yeah, so on ultrasound, about 5 weeks.
Okay.
We'll start seeing, and that's 5 weeks from the last menstrual period, right?
Yep.
So that's, you subtract 2 weeks, and it's really 3 weeks of life.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
That heartbeat is beating.
Right.
We need your support of the ACLJ to do all of this work, to have these attorneys
on that. Actually, an email alert going out on that today. Went out today.
And again, you could double the impact of your donation today at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge. Every donation is doubled. That's at ACLJ.org. Donate today. Support the work of the ACLJ, including so much of the pro-life work we're doing right now.
So the ACLJ is fully engaged, as Jordan just said, on all of these issues, standing up for life on a whole host of levels. And your support of the ACLJ, as we said, makes a huge difference, especially as we are now in a matching challenge month, literally around the country, as we've got cases right now that we're litigating on behalf of life. So all of this going on as we stand for life, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
We will fight for
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a new bill that will strengthen abortion rights. The governor tweeted the Reproductive Health Care Act will protect Roe v. Wade regardless of what the federal government does. He called it a victory for all New Yorkers.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, it's sure not a victory for the unborn children, that's for sure. Or the children born alive as a result of an abortion procedure because they have zero protections. This New York law is barbaric. It allows, first of all, it's not even requiring a doctor to perform these surgeries. It's now allowing nurse practitioners, other healthcare providers. It's very vague. Removes all, the Gosnell case removes all criminal liability issues. And this is what's happened in New York, and this is passed. And I'm going to go to CeCe first, and Abby, we're going to reset this. As you look at the law, CeCe, what's the most disturbing aspect? I mean, you can make a list 100 miles long, but what's the most disturbing aspect of this?
That there are just absolutely no protections for an unborn baby at any point, and even possibly if they're born alive, that a baby can be killed from any point, even possibly if they're born alive.
So if the abortion is not successful and the child's born alive, no protections. So Abby, it's removing the whole idea here is to remove the personhood of the unborn child.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And Vermont is very clear about that. An egg, embryo, fetus shall not have rights under Vermont law.
By the way, look up the Latin word for fetus. I think it means unborn child. I'm going to look that up. I mean, Andy, you probably know off the top of your head.
It is fetus, F-O-E-T-U-S, actually, in Latin. And that means something that is unborn but still has life, as I believe with Thomas Aquinas from the moment of conception, yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah. Omar Hamada is also with us. Dr. Hamada is a board-certified OBGYN, also board-certified sports medicine, former Special Forces medical officer as well, has a lot of experience, and this has been on a lot of broadcasts lately. Let's go ahead and grab a call right out of the base here.
Well, I do want to know, we talked about these countries that allow this. We were talking about that in the break.
Yeah.
And also about Europe. There are here are the countries that allow abortion after 20 weeks. There's only seven. Only seven countries in the world that allow abortion after 20 weeks. China, North Korea, the Netherlands, Singapore, Vietnam, the United States, and Canada. Not necessarily a group the U.S. and Canada want to be a part of, right?
Yeah,
think about those
again.
Other countries.
Well, let's set it up. If those weren't with us in the last segment, Dr. Hamada, you said that you looked at other laws in other countries.
Right. And as liberal as we consider Europe, they only allow abortions in general, from what I understand, up to 12, maybe 14 weeks.
Yeah, so now we've got the statistic.
Yeah, so we know that the only country in Europe that allows it after 20 weeks is the Netherlands. Canada allows it after 20 weeks. China, of course, they've got a lot of abortion issues there with forced abortion. North Korea, their valuation of life is, I'm sure that they would... there's no protection even for children outside of the womb there. Singapore, the United States is included in this group as well as Vietnam.
That's a pretty
small number of countries.
Not a group of countries you'd want to be in line with on human rights.
No, and the Netherlands, remember, is a country that's also leading the charge on euthanasia and issues like that. Yeah. So, I mean, these are... it's not surprising that the one European country on that list is the Netherlands.
What does it tell you as a doctor?
That we are morally bankrupt in the United States, and we're on a dangerous slope because it's not going to stop there. Because we're also advancing euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide, and soon enough, I mean, who knows where it's going to stop.
With all of this work that's going on, it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. And so whether it's in the legislative branch and working on the laws, the actual crafting of laws, whether it's defending pro-life legislation, combating pro-abortion legislative action at the state or even sometimes federal level and make sure the right restrictions are in. We need your support of the ACLJ to do all of this work, to have these attorneys
on that. Actually, an email alert going out on that today. Went out today.
And again, you could double the impact of your donation today at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge. Every donation is doubled. That's at ACLJ.org. Donate today. Support the work of the ACLJ, including so much of the pro-life work we're doing right now.
So the ACLJ is fully engaged, as Jordan just said, on all of these issues, standing up for life on a whole host of levels. And your support of the ACLJ, as we said, makes a huge difference, especially as we are now in a matching challenge month, literally around the country, as we've got cases right now that we're litigating on behalf of life. So all of this going on as we stand for life, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
This is how AP, this is the Associated Press, this is how they phrased the issue in Virginia. A Virginia abortion feud erupts, governor blasted for comments. A push by Virginia Democrats to loosen restrictions on late-term abortions is erupting into a fierce partisan clash because of a viral video in which a lawmaker acknowledges her legislation would allow abortions up until the moments before birth. So this is during delivery. And you've looked at the law, Abby, and as you view the law, is she misstating it or is that what the law says?
That is what the law says. Is that up
proposal,
until what it indicates, because what it has done is, like many other states, it's removed. There used to be a requirement that three physicians agree,
right,
that there is a substantial and irremediable impairment or threat to the woman's health.
Right.
Okay. So that has been removed. There is no longer that requirement. It's just one physician deciding that there's a health complication with regards to the woman, mental or physical. And that's it.
Does it say mental or physical?
It says mental or physical. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, this is the exception that that nullifies any restriction. So when we say this is abortion until the moment of during live delivery, it is. Then from a Washington D.C. perspective, you had the fetal pain bill. It didn't get through, unfortunately. What's the status of this? I mean, we do have Marco Rubio saying, "I never thought I would see the day America had government officials who openly supported legal infanticide." You have Ben Sasse. He came out. He says, if you can't say it's wrong to leave babies to die after birth, get out of public office. That's he was a little stronger than that, even, I would say, for Ben, for Senator Sasse. But that's what's the sense of this in Washington? At least the senators are speaking out.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Senator Sasse on that. Look, the United States, Jay, is in the sad company of seven countries in the world that don't ban late-term abortion. And I know Jordan went through the list maybe yesterday.
Do it again.
It's not good company. Mm-hmm. The list is China, North Korea, Singapore, Netherlands, Vietnam, Canada, and the United States. And Jay, I would just point out, the list gets even smaller if you talk about the list of countries that don't restrict it at any point, because Singapore and the Netherlands restrict it after 20 weeks. So we're really in a sad company of five. And quite frankly, the federal elected officials ought to be ashamed that they haven't addressed this. The House has passed it in previous sessions. The Senate has never been able to. Lindsey Graham has carried that bill for a number of sessions. Jay, it ought to be brought up again. We'd lose a couple of Republicans on it. We'd pick up a couple of Democrats, but it would again show the American voters who's standing behind the kind of abhorrent laws that we're seeing introduced on the state level.
Yeah, I mean, we are similar to North Korea and China in this, that even the liberal Europeans that we see as, oh, they're very far left there, they don't even have anything like a conservative movement that we have in the United States, or they would not allow this. Even the Netherlands prevents it from earlier than we do nationwide. And that's liberal Europe. So who are we in the company of? We're in the company of the regimes with the worst human rights records in the world, China, North Korea, Vietnam. These are the kind of countries we are in bed with when it comes to how we treat the child in the womb and the respect for life and when does that begin. So even I just want to underscore, we see Europe is so liberal. I bet it's shocking to most of our listeners that we have much more open abortion laws here in the United States with least restrictions, probably in every state in the country, than all countries in Europe, than every single country in Europe has more restrictions on abortion than the United States.
Abby, you were going to say you said this earlier. So informed consent's out, basically the way it used to be traditionally done.
Right.
So this idea that this is we're going to make these bills to protect women, you think it's the opposite of that?
It is the opposite because it also removes. So there used to be a civil penalty on physicians who fail to obtain proper informed written consent. And like I said, the list for what consists
in other words, if you didn't get informed consent, you could subject to
sue the physician. There's civil penalties. They've removed that as well. Why would you remove that?
So Andy, why would they remove it? To give a free pass?
Yeah, because it's to encourage abortions in any way at any time, in my opinion. So we take away, like you said earlier, in a tonsillectomy, you'd have to have someone sign and take an informed. You don't even have to do that to commit an abortion. And that, and I'm saying what it is committing a crime, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You don't even have to have informed consent to do that.
Yeah. All right. We're taking your calls. And this is Virginia's law we're talking about. This has been some week on this issue. I mean, look, folks, we know we're in a battle. I'm going to play that. Let me play that delegate statement again. I think we need to before we take the call. Let's play it again. Here's what this is. The delegate is explaining the bill.
How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay, but to the end of the third trimester?
Yep, I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
Where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth. Would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would
make. I understand that. I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
And let me ask you this, Abby. Is the statements that the delegate Tran made consistent with what the law she's put forward?
It is. It is, because it removes requirements that there be a real and substantial threat to the woman's health.
Mm. Now, you understand the nature and scope of what we're dealing with here. This is, Andy called it a crime. It's evil. It's murder. But the problem is, this is when the states get to decide, understand that this is where local elections matter and aspects of this matter. But this is really horrific. I mean, and so it's Virginia. Which used to be a pretty conservative state, but like Jordan said, it's, what is it, 51-49? It's two votes?
Within two votes in both the House of Delegates and the State Senate.
So they're barely holding.
The elections are this year, and it's turning blue there, so I would imagine I'm not an expert on state politics in Virginia, but I'd imagine the Democrats have a pretty good chance there. And that usually translates into, I will tell you, because I lived two doors down from Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia, who's a Democrat, and when he was running for state Senate, guess who was doing most of his mailers for him? Planned Parenthood.
I remember that.
And he's a pediatric neurosurgeon, so he knows what he's talking about when he was caught on the record as well, talking about leaving a baby to possibly die after an abortion.
Yeah.
He's a pediatric neurosurgeon.
All right, let's go ahead and take a call. Then in the next segment, we'll play what he said. We'll play what Ralph.
Yeah, so Gail in New York on line one. Gail, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gail.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is about the New York RHA.
Yep.
The new law, and I believe the law defines a person now as a human being who has been born and is alive. And so my question is, when a baby is born alive as the result of an abortion and it's left to die, although I know they removed the protections that used to be there, wouldn't that count as a criminally negligent homicide?
Not
because the baby is now a person.
Yeah, so this is the personal issue. We would certainly argue that, but the law doesn't say that. I mean, there's a viability issue. I mean, let me rephrase the thing here. This is allowing the abortion procedure to take place during delivery. So as the baby's being delivered, you can end the pregnancy then and kill the unborn child. So here's what you're saying is, what if the child is then born alive? And there used to be a born alive infant protections. There was discussions on all of this. And because this was happening, it was the Gosnell case and others. The problem with all of this, it seems to me, Abby, is all of that's getting eroded away. I mean, it's just, this is a process of, and then when we play you the governor's statements, it's even worse, but go ahead.
Well, and what they're doing is they're removing the criminal penalties that were in place to protect the life of that baby.
Yeah.
So it's not saying you can kill that baby once it's born, but what it's saying is we won't prosecute you or do anything about it.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Go ahead,
so
Jordan.
Then
I'm going to go to
Andy. The future prosecutions of someone like Gosnell serving life in prison because of what he was doing, because he was killing babies. But in New York, stripping all the criminal provisions out, even if the law says you shouldn't do that, if there's no penalty for doing that, and in some of these cases, they're also stripping out the civil actions as well.
Right.
So absolutely no, there are no repercussions whatsoever for allowing a child to die.
So Andy, you're the prosecutor in the county where this happened, and what do you do?
Well, you can't prosecute it as a crime because it's not anymore. And that's the sad part of this, is that you're taking away the right of the prosecutor to exercise his or her discretion to prosecute what, in my view, is a homicide. You can call it anything you want. You can pitch it any way you want, but that's what this is.
Well, you know, we're getting reaction in Washington, Than, but the reaction's one thing, action is another, and it's going to be tough, right? You're shaking your head.
Well,
yeah.
It's going to be tough. The votes aren't there, and part of the reason they're not there is because of what Jordan just said. Planned Parenthood gets behind these candidates, Jay, and let me just put it to you plainly. The purity test for the pure pro-abortion left in America, and I know that's a perverted use of the word purity, but their purity test is that there can be no limits, there can be no lines, and Jay, that extends to infanticide. Look, I mean, the conversation you just had with Abby about removing the criminal penalties for not providing care to an infant that's born alive laying on the table, Planned Parenthood and the pro-abortion left in America, Jay, they think that no limits and no lines extends to infanticide. They really do.
Now, wait until we play you the governor's statements when you try to explain this horrific act. All right, we'll do that coming up from the break. So we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed, but just keep trying. We're going to keep going through as many calls as we can. Also, let me encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org, as we not just talk about these issues. We're looking at every avenue. Now, Virginia, we think we're going to be able to block it, but that's this session. Next session, who knows? So, again, it's very, very important. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So you understand the nature and the scope of what we're dealing with as we now point to the Virginia law that's been proposed. I'll play the governor's comments in a moment. I think it's important that we you understand exactly where this law is going. We're going to take a phone call, and then I'm going to have Abby explain some of this, because it's much more than what you think is going on here. It's not just they're removing criminal and civil penalties, but they're also prohibiting any enforcement actions of any type against those engaged in the procedure and limiting the information that the woman that's about to undergo this procedure, which could be during her birth, during the birth of the child. It's unconscionable what you're saying. Let's go ahead and take the call.
I think Harley's call out of Washington State ties directly into what we were talking about during the break on Facebook and Periscope. Harley, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Harley.
Thank you very much, you guys, and I do support you.
Thanks.
I was troubled. I don't know if I heard this correctly, but they don't have to have, I'm sorry, I have cold. They don't have to have the consent of the mother before they do an abortion.
So that means
that she's giving birth, and then they can just decide to abort the baby without her request.
It used to be required that you have written informed consent, which you do for most procedures, by the way. So let's Abby explain what it does.
Okay, so what it does is the requirement that informed written consent be obtained by the woman is still in there, but there was an entire page devoted to explaining what is informed written consent. And now that definition has been removed, which that's where the protections for the woman were located. It required a medical explanation of what was going to happen, the risks, the benefits.
All of that's out.
All of it out. The woman being able to ask questions of the physician, removed, gone.
Yeah. I mean, this is what they're putting forward. So the woman doesn't have the right to ask the physician exactly the risks and risks and concerns of the procedure?
It's not a requirement. It's not a requirement that be offered to the woman before the procedure takes place.
So as part of informed consent, you used to have to do that, right?
Yes.
Same thing with any surgery. This is the risks and benefits.
Yeah. Right.
Here, they're saying we're removing that.
Right.
Abortion distortion at its worst, because, I mean, you can't go in to have a minor medical procedure and not be told about the risk. I mean, the doctors don't even ask you if you want to be told about the risk. They tell you about the risk for their own malpractice purposes. But when you strip malpractice out, you strip civil actions out, you strip criminal penalties out, then it's up to a woman in a vulnerable situation to go and question the doctor about this, which again reverses the relationship that's supposed to be between a doctor and a patient. The doctor is supposed to be the one telling you the risks that are concerned. You shouldn't be having to pull that out of the doctor. Exactly what are you doing, doctor? And exactly what? I mean, they're supposed to walk you through that usually up until these procedures, much more minor procedures than one like a late-term abortion. Go ahead.
Well, and I will say, as I'm reading on, it does say that the physician need not obtain the informed written consent of the woman when the abortion is to be performed pursuant to a medical emergency or spontaneous miscarriage. So, I mean, it seems to leave open. And again, it removes the civil penalty of any physician who decides to do it.
So let's talk, Andy, let's talk about the penalty aspect. So yesterday we focused on the fact that it removed the criminal penalties.
Correct.
New York now that's New York. This one in Virginia removes civil and criminal penalties. We call it the abortion distortion factor, but this gives the abortion right as something so significant that the claims you would normally be able to bring cannot be brought.
Sounds like it. It's death on demand and without disclosure. That's exactly what it is. Death on demand and without disclosure. In other words, anything goes, which is perhaps even more horrific, in my view, than what is happening in New York with its legislation.
Yeah.
Because when I hear Abby reading from sections of this statute or that proposed bill in Virginia, I'm thinking that that's exactly what it is. It's killing when you want to and how you want to, and you don't even have to tell the person who is delivering the infant anything about it.
Well, Governor Northam, who's the Virginia governor, was on WTOP, and they're Ask the Governor radio broadcast, and this issue came up.
When we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
But actually, he's incorrect on one point right up front, and that is the infant would be delivered. The fact of the matter is, under the bill, the infant, and the sponsor of the bill said this, the infant could be, the abortion could take place during delivery. Is there any question on that? I mean, she said it, as well as the law itself.
Yeah. I mean, it removes the strict provisions that there be a unified decision by three physicians. So it does it, and it removes the civil penalty. So it just allows a doctor to decide, is there any mental or physical threat to the woman's life? If there is.
Or health.
And we know what that means.
Yes.
I mean, we all know what that means. It's anything.
It's interesting because the governor here is a Democrat, is very pro-abortion, backed by Planned Parenthood's his entire political career. But he's a pediatric neurosurgeon. Obviously, he didn't read the bill, or didn't fully understand it. But he actually went a step further. I think what it does is it gave us insight into where this movement is heading. When he said that if the infant would be, let's say the infant is delivered, that you could have a live child. And then the doctor, along with the mother, could decide whether to kill it. That's what he's saying there when he said the infant would be kept comfortable and would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother, and then they could kill the kid again. So resuscitate, bring back to life, have another discussion, and kill again. That's where he would like it to go. That is infanticide.
That's exactly what that is.
Well, I mean, that's what you got senators calling. Give us the Washington response on this. I mean, a couple of senators spoken out. I haven't been that many yet, but what's not just the response? What are they proposing?
Well, first of all, the response, Jay, I think they believe that it's a vocalization of what the left has been for a long time, because that clip that you played started with third trimester abortion. That's something that's outlawed in most of the civilized world, but it didn't end there. It ended with infanticide. And I think the reaction from senators is that is what they are hearing from the abortion lobby groups that are on the Hill each and every day. That is where the abortion lobby groups stand, Jay. But as far as action goes, look, on a federal level, the response to this is very, very clear. It's the pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which catches the United States up with the rest of the civilized world and does not allow this procedure after 20 weeks. Jay, if that bill were to come to the floor of the House and the Senate right now for a vote, it would fall several dozen short in the House. And quite frankly, it would probably fall 6 to 8 short in the United States Senate. So as far as an action response, our federal officials need to catch up here.
So we're looking at every legal. We're trying to find out a couple things. How did all this all of a sudden start? So we're doing Freedom of Information Act request. We're looking at any now in Virginia. I think this time around they're going to be able to block it because they've got control of the House and the House of Delegates and the Senate.
With all of this work that's going on, it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. And so whether it's in the legislative branch and working on the laws, the actual crafting of laws, whether it's defending pro-life legislation, combating pro-abortion legislative action at the state or even sometimes federal level, and make sure the right restrictions are in. We need your support of the ACLJ to do all of this work, to have these attorneys
on that. Actually, an email alert going out on that today. Went out today.
And again, you could double the impact of your donation today at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge. Every donation is doubled. That's at ACLJ.org. Donate today. Support the work of the ACLJ, including so much of the pro-life work we're doing right now.
So the ACLJ is fully engaged, as Jordan just said, on all of these issues, standing up for life on a whole host of levels. And your support of the ACLJ, as we said, makes a huge difference, especially as we are now in a matching challenge month literally around the country, as we've got cases right now that we're litigating on behalf of life. So all of this going on as we stand for life, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ